Gratia Sancte Evangelii Secundum Lucam.
Gloria
Divino. Scribes and the Pharisees said to Jesus, "The disciples of John the Baptist fast often and offer prayers, and the disciples of the Pharisees do the same, but yours eat and drink." Jesus answered them, "Can you make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new cloth to patch an old one. Otherwise, he will tear the new, and the piece from it will not match the old cloak. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and it'll be spilled, and the skins will be ruined. Rather, new wine must be poured into fresh wineskins. And no one who has been drinking old wine desires new, for he says the old is good." Verbum Domini. Good morning, everybody. It's First Friday, Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. I forgot to acknowledge St. Joseph yesterday while I was here. Of course, those who follow EWTN regularly know that St. Joseph is my patron saint, and I was here on the Feast of St. Joseph, March 19th, to celebrate Mass with all of you and preach, and it's always good to come back to EWTN. I am Father Stephen Imbarato, a priest for life, but I'm a member of the EWTN family. I hope you check out Janet Morana and I. And now this season, Father Dennis Wilde, the new season just started of Defending Life. You can check us out each and every week here on EWTN. So first, I want to apologize to our global audience because I'm going to talk today about the United States. But I'm going to talk about church teaching. So I hope it has global and universal application. Also want to apologize to anyone who hopes that I would address the church scandal again, for the first reading surely cries out for that. But it's election season. I need to talk about political responsibility and actually another, what I believe is a scandal that I pointed out a couple of years ago when I was here during the election season before the presidential election. And that is the fact that in the United States, with our Catholic faith built on the unity of the Trinity, unity of doctrine, unity of faith, the electorate here in this country, every election cycle votes 50-50, given or take a few percent between two polar opposite, disparate political socio-ideologies. And it begs the question, how can this be? And is this not a scandal? Now, in speaking about political responsibility and laying out church teachings, I do not want to offer you my mere opinion. So I'm going to read to you first from the USCCB document, the US Bishop document, 1998, Living the Gospel of Life. And I did this again 2 years ago. Now, let me put this document in context in terms of its authority. This year is the 20th anniversary of its promulgation. In 1995, Pope, now St. John Paul II, promulgated the infallible document, the encyclical, the Gospel of Life, Evangelium Vitae. Shortly thereafter, the Pope Saint encouraged the U.S. bishops to apply his encyclical in a teaching to the American people. So in that context, 3 years after Evangelium Vitae, the bishops of the United States issued Living the Gospel of Life. And as we go through the homily this morning, I hope to clarify once more the nuances of voting properly within the context of the consistent life ethic and the problems presented. The teachings of the bishops, I think, in this document are clear, rational, and logical. So the bishops, I want to start off in chapter 5. Say, respect the dignity of human life, respect for the dignity of the human person demands a commitment to human rights across a broad spectrum. And then they go through many of the problems facing the world, the issues, social issues facing the world and the United States. And that we must be committed to the defense of life in all stages and every condition. That's exactly right. The bishops say respect for human life calls us to defend life from all threats. It calls us well to enhance the conditions of human living by helping provide food, shelter, meaningful employment, beginning with those most in need. We live the gospel of life when we live in solidarity with the poor of the world, standing up for their lives and dignity. So they lay out all of the social issues confronting us and tell us we need to be sensitive to all these issues. Exactly right. But then they say this, yet, so they're making a separation, a distinction. Abortion and euthanasia have become preeminent threats to human dignity because they directly attack life itself, the most fundamental human good, and the condition for all others. So my brothers and sisters, the bishops start off right away, making a clear distinction between abortion and euthanasia, in contrast to all the other issues, and they clearly state that abortion and euthanasia are the preeminent issues because they're direct threats to human life. And I want you to note as I go through the document how often and where the bishops use superlatives and absolutes. Chapter 18, they quote Christi Fidelis Laici, the inviolability of the person, which is a reflection of the absolute inviolability of God, finds its primary and fundamental expression in the inviolability of human life. Above all, the common outcry which is made on behalf of human rights, for example, again, right to health, home, work, family, culture, is false and illusory. If the right to life, the most basic and fundamental right, and again, the condition for all other rights is not defended with maximum determination. Chapter 20. There is such a wide spectrum of issues involving the protection of human life and the promotion of human dignity. Good people frequently disagree on which problems to address, which policies to adopt, and how to best apply them. But for citizens and elected officials alike, the basic principle is simple. We begin with a commitment never to intentionally kill or collude in the killing of any innocent life, no matter how broken, unformed, disabled, or desperate that life may seem. In other words, the choice of certain ways of acting is always and radically incompatible with the love of God and the dignity of the human person created in his image. Direct abortion is never a morally tolerable option. It is always a grave act of violence against a woman and her unborn child. Similarly, euthanasia, so again, they're making it clear, it's about euthanasia and assisted suicide, are never acts of mercy. So abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, they make a distinction here. They always gravely exploit the suffering and desperate, extinguishing life in the name of quality of life itself. Chapter 22. Again, they address the adopting a consistent ethic of life. The church promotes a broad spectrum of issues seeking to protect human life and promote human dignity from the inception of life to its final moment. So we see the bishops over and over again putting these issues within a context of a consistent life ethic, but surely setting apart these issues of abortion and euthanasia as fundamental, absolute, primary, preeminent. Opposition to abortion and euthanasia does not excuse indifference to those who suffer poverty, violence, and injustice. And I don't think anyone who has a sensitivity to abortion and euthanasia is insensitive to any other issues. I've never run across that. Any politics of human life must work to resist the violence of war, the scandal of capital punishment. Any politics of human dignity must seriously address issues of racism, poverty, hunger, employment, education, housing, and health care. Yes. Therefore, Catholics should eagerly involve themselves as advocates for the weak and the marginalized in all these areas. Correct. Catholic public officials are obliged to address each of these issues as they seek to build consistent policies which promote respect for human person at all stages of life. But, the bishops say, but, being right in such matters, all these other matters, can never excuse a wrong choice regarding direct attacks on innocent human life. Indeed, the failure to protect and defend life in its most vulnerable stages renders suspect any claims to the rightness of positions in other matters affecting the poorest and the least powerful of the human community. We understand the human person is a temple of the Holy Spirit, the living house of God. Then these latter issues fall logically into place as the cross beams and the wall of that house. All direct attacks on human life, such as abortion and euthanasia, strike at the house foundation. These directly and immediately violate the human person's most fundamental right, the right to life. 23. Some Catholic elected officials have adopted an argument that while they personally oppose evils like abortion, they cannot force their religious views onto the wider society. How often do we hear that? This is, and especially amongst many Catholic politicians. This is seriously mistaken on several accounts. First, regarding abortion, the point when human life begins is not a religious belief, but a scientific fact. A fact on which there is clear agreement even among leading abortion advocates. Second, the sanctity of life is not merely Catholic doctrine, but part of a global ethic and our nation's founding principle. Finally, democracy is not served by silence. Most Americans would recognize the contradiction in the statement, while I'm personally opposed to slavery and racism or sexism, I cannot force my personal view on the rest of society. Real pluralism depends on people of conviction struggling vigorously to advance their beliefs by every ethical and legal means at their disposal. 28. Talk about themselves. As bishops, we have a responsibility to call Americans to conversion, including political leaders and especially those publicly identified as Catholic. As chief teachers in the church, we must therefore explain, persuade, correct, and admonish those in leadership positions who contradict the gospel of life through their actions and policies. Catholic public officials who disregard church teaching on the inviolability of the human person indirectly collude in the taking of innocent life. This is significant. So also we must remind these leaders of their duty to exercise genuine moral leadership in society. They do not do this by unthinking adherence to public opinion polls or to empty pro-choice slogans, but by educating and sensitizing themselves and their constituents to the humanity of the unborn child. Nonetheless, some Catholic officials may exclude themselves from the truth by refusing to open their minds to church witness. In all cases, bishops have the duty and pastoral responsibility to continue to challenge those officials on the issue in question and persistently call call them to a change of heart. They continue on this theme in 31. We urge Catholic officials who choose to depart from church teaching on the inviolability of human life in their public life to consider the consequences for their own spiritual well-being, as well as the scandal they risk by leading others into serious sin. These are very important lines. We call on them to reflect on the grave contradiction of assuming public roles and presenting themselves as credible Catholics when their actions on fundamental issues of human life, fundamental issues, what are the bishops talking about here? The most fundamental issues, abortion, euthanasia, issues of human life are not in agreement with church teaching. No public official, especially one claiming to be a faithful and serious Catholic, can responsibly advocate for or actively support direct attacks on innocent human life. I don't think the bishops can be any clearer. No one, least of all someone who exercises leadership in society, can rightfully claim to share fully and practically the Catholic faith and yet act publicly in a way contrary to that faith. Now, my brothers and sisters, I don't think our bishops can be any more clear. Very early this year, I asked the Catholic candidate for governor of New Mexico, presently a congressperson, how they reconciled their support for abortion or pro-abortion up to the day of birth with their Catholic faith and Catholic teaching. And they replied to me, "Oh, in many ways." And when I asked them to name just one way, give me one way, they walked away without answering. So I now want to read to you a short excerpt from the letter of the New Mexico, my bishops, New Mexico Bishops Conference. It comprises three bishops, the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, Diocese of Las Cruces, and Gallup. They wrote a public letter to make the point, and this is a public letter written last year, and it makes the point that these three bishops correctly apply the teaching of the living of gospel of life. Again, with the exact same wording you'll hear in this letter. And they addressed it to some New Mexico Catholic elected state officials who support abortion up to the day of birth, as well as euthanasia. And they were claiming publicly, that they could support abortion and euthanasia and do it based on their Catholic faith. So this is what the three bishops of New Mexico said. We, the bishops of the state of New Mexico, speak for the Catholic Church. We work to uphold the dignity of human life from conception till natural death through our pastoral ministries and through our legislative advocacy through the New Mexico Conference of Catholic Bishops. We encourage individuals to live and proclaim the faith. However, they must be steadfast in stating that they speak for themselves and do not speak for the Catholic Church. That's why I always use Catholic doctrine, all right, Catholic teachings. Recently, statements have been made by some Catholic legislators regarding abortion, doctor-assisted suicide in the Catholic Church. They came out against these teachings. These statements may be confusing to the Catholic faithful and do not represent the teachings of the Church. It is not appropriate for elected officials to publicly invoke their Catholic faith and present their personal opinions as official Catholic teaching. This misrepresents Catholic teaching and creates a public scandal for the faithful. Furthermore, this action publicly separates a person from communion with the Catholic faith. Think about that statement. This action publicly separates a person from communion with the Catholic faith. We acknowledge that there are Catholic legislators who advocate and vote for some issues that are of moral importance to Catholics, including concern for poor people and immigrants. We applaud their work, giving voice to the voiceless. However, We are concerned by public statements by some legislators that seem to say a faithful Catholic can support abortion and doctor-assisted suicide. Support for abortion or doctor-assisted suicide is not in accordance with the teachings of the Church. These represent the direct taking of human life and are always wrong. Furthermore, we're convinced that proclaiming and living the gospel of life is the most effective way to change hearts and minds so that one day the scourge of abortion will be eliminated. Our message is consistent. All life is sacred from the moment of conception till natural death and must be protected. It is not morally permissible for a Catholic to support abortion or doctor-assisted suicide. We want to be clear. Individuals and groups do not speak for the Catholic Church. As bishops, we do. And I want to add, amen. Thank you, bishops. Now, my friends, St. Paul says we're reasonable people, judge for ourselves. Let's think this out. If a candidate supports killing babies up to the day of birth and killing the elderly and the disabled, how can they then tell us that they care about people who are poor, or immigrants in our country, or people who may be affected by the environment? I'm sorry, but this, as the bishops say, is suspect, false, and illusory. A strong case could be made that candidates, especially Catholic candidates, who support abortion and euthanasia only care about the environment and poverty and immigration as political issues, part of a political agenda. They clearly do not care about people. If there is a clear distinction between two candidates on abortion and euthanasia, there is a clear distinction between two candidates, their positions on abortion and euthanasia, then we as Catholics have a clear decision to make regardless of the candidates' positions on other issues. There's no proportionality here. Likewise, issues such as immigration, the environment, the poor, health care, etc., require what? A certain amount of prudential judgment. Abortion and euthanasia are always intrinsically evil. We hear the bishops say that over and over again. My friends, the election is 2 months away. Please vote. It's our moral obligation. Vote the teachings of the Church. Vote for the babies. As the bishops point out elsewhere in Living the Gospel of Life, you are the only voice the babies have. In my entire adult life in statewide elections or federal elections, I have never looked at a candidate in question and said, boy, they're really close on abortion and euthanasia. I need to look at their other issues. No, in my entire adult life in state and federal general elections, the choice has always been perfectly clear, based on, as we hear the bishops describe it, the preeminent issues of abortion and euthanasia. Go to politicalresponsibility.com for platforms of both political issues. Tomorrow, please, my friends, remember it's the National Day of Mourning for Aborted Babies. You can go to abortionmemorials.com. October 7th, we have the National Rosary Rally in Washington, D.C. as part of Rosary Coast to Coast, rosarycoasttocoast.com. Let us pray for our church and our nation. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. God bless you. I love you. Pray for me. I'll pray for you.